I was anxious that, you know, within disability and within the arts, there's always politics. And I was anxious to capture that polemic, but also anxious that we would celebrate the uniqueness and the fact that the work has can have a much wider audience, because quite often the work is work that people will not have seen before, and ways of making or ways of approaching a subject. You know, Jenny Seeley, who is a theatre director with Grey Eye, she has written an essay for us. You know, one of the things she explores is the use of sign language and audio description, not as add-ons, but as part of the script in a theatre production. And Donald Tolan, who's on the front of cover in a play called Bent, when they did that, each actor had a double, and the double acting allowed somebody to sign and audio describe what the other actors were actually acting. Mm. And so the result is that you have a totally different form of theatre as a result.
Mm. So it's quite creative and innovative in that sense. But, I mean, what kind of an audience would you have? Like, where would your work be displayed?
I think that there are two ways of looking at that, or two ways of describing that. I think in an Irish context, until very recently, in many instances, it has been disability arts for a disability community. I think internationally, and that's one of the reasons we have people writing from New Zealand, from the US, from England, from Wales, is to actually capture the fact that in certain instances, because they have a much longer history of disabled people being active in the arts, that in fact they have gone mainstream. You know, Nabil Shaban has been in Doctor Who, been in City of Angels and a whole lot of other films. You know, you can look back to the 70s and Ian Drury and the Blockheads, and the fact that in the early in the 70s when the BBC wanted to have him on Top of the Pops, they wanted him to perform in a basket because they didn't want his wheelchair. And you compare that to when Adam Reynolds died recently, and there was a full-page obituary written by the director of the Tate in The Guardian. And so, in other words, you can see that in an Irish context, this work is very much in its early stages of being mainstreamed, but in other countries it's already happened. And I hope that when, you know, galleries, theatres and other venues in Ireland see the strides that have been made internationally, and that the Irish work compares very favourably, and in many instances has already had an international audience, that actually we can see it in the mainstream.
But on that point as well, I mean, should art just be about the art and not about the person who did it? You know, so should you say, oh, well, this is an exhibition of artists, or do you make a point of saying, oh, well, this is an exhibition of artists with a disability?
I think there are very few artists out there that don't come with a particular perspective, whether that's a perspective on the landscape they exist within, or whether it is maybe a social context, or whether, you know, there are a whole range of reasons why artists make work. And I think some of the most exciting work is the work where it not necessarily has just purely a personal dimension, but where kind of the real gritty issues are being raised, and where new art forms are being put forward because an artist thought of that through their experience. And, you know, I can think of many artists who you wouldn't necessarily, or who you wouldn't describe as disabled, but who you would associate their work with a particular, I suppose, style, with a particular social commentary maybe over the lifetime of their work. And I think what I would like to see with this particular work is people engaging with the commentary, because one of the artists raises the issue that, you know, when she was a student, some of her tutors were saying, you're going to ghettoise yourself by doing this work. And in many ways, it is the society, if it chooses not to engage with the piece of work, that is ghettoising the artist rather than the other way around. Because in fact, the work is valid. I think there are connections, for example, with black arts and black culture and other ethnic minorities. I think, for example, within the gay lesbian movement, there are connections with disability arts. In other words, any groups or groups that have, I suppose, joined together to, you know, for example, tell their own stories, laugh about themselves, you know, even still within a disability context, you will find that when there's a cabaret, maybe disability cabaret, the people who laugh loudest are the disabled people there because they actually understand the jokes. And this, I think, shows that there are subcultures within our bigger culture. And I think that's one of the things we need to break down. You know, it sometimes is very frustrating that, and I remember this from my own personal experience being involved in radio, where I did a little documentary on disability arts, and this would have been several years ago. But I wanted to use a joke told by a very well-known comedian called Matt Fraser, and couldn't use it because it would be offensive. But in fact, within the disability community, it being around so long, actually was old hat. You know, so you have these, I suppose, contradictions and I suppose different tracks that people are on. And what I would really love to see with this publication is that we see more people see the work, not just disabled people.